Blog Talk Radio.
I saw a day of no division, a competition. Oh, yeah. And I saw the time. There was no envy, there was no strife. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No denomination, no walls to keep us from one another. We had love in our hearts. We were all sisters. We're all brothers, 'cause when we all get together, what a day it's gonna be, when we all see Jesus.
That we made it in, yeah.
No longer separated by the color of our skin. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Laughing all the things that kept us so far apart. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Praise God together. The love of God was in our hearts. Oh, when we all get together. Oh, mama, what a day it's gonna be. Yeah. When we all see Jesus, we're gonna sing. Woo.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I thank you all for tuning in
to High Praise Cathedral, located here in Inkster, Michigan, pastored by Bishop Clarence and Prophetess Joyce Hatton. We thank you all for tuning in on this morning. We thank the Lord for all of you in Africa, all that's in all the other countries, Italy and Ireland, those of you in America, United States, wherever you may be tuned in on this morning, we just thank God for you. And we're going to now take you live into the service where you will hear an awesome service. And also, by the way, any dads out there, we want to say happy Father's Day from the High Praise Cathedral, a church, and also the Angels of Melody. God bless you all.
But you, no, 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 no. never mind me, Lord. Let us see you. Africa. Just telling y'all what's going on this end. I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers around the world. Let's listen. Let's give the fathers a round of applause. Get your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and also the book of St. Mark, chapter 14. These passages is where I shall build my text today. I want you to pray for us. We just finished ministering in Detroit. I'm working hard on Father's Day this year. Had a great service in Detroit. Get a chance to really change. I had to come from there to here. But God is good, isn't he? All right. Next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about keeping church. That's a program that comes on every day with Al Sharpton. He calls it Keep It Real. But next Sunday, the Lord told me to speak about Keep It Church. So many things are happening to divert the move of the church. As a last day kind of agenda, we have a form of godliness, but we seem to deny the power thereof. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. All y'all didn't say it. Look at your neighbor and say, say it to me if you don't have no neighbor. Say, it's time to keep it church. So come next Sunday, Lord, let me live. I'll speak to you from that subject. But in the book of Genesis, we find these words, chapter 12, and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And it says it is in verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. Now, your enemies ain't going to like this part. And curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And then in Mark 14, verse 32, it reads as follows. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he says to the disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taking with him Peter and James and John, began to be so amazed and to be very heavy, and said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it be possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. Please allow me to speak to you from these two passages, Genesis chapter 12 and Mark chapter 16. 14, this subject, the benefits of a yes man. The benefits of a yes man. Now, brothers, look at each other and ask them a question. Look them in the face. Say, brother, wives, look at your husbands. They're sitting by. And ask this question, are you y'all don't want to work with me, do you? Look at the brother next to you. Woman, if you sit next to a brother, you look at her. If you sit behind and tap him on the shoulder and say, are you a yes man? Now, readily, most men do not want to be branded as a yes man. It is a sign of weakness. It is a sign as though you have not matured. You have not developed into someone that's desirous to have company. But I don't mind, from what I read in this text here, all of y'all point your finger to me and say, hello, yes, ma'am. It didn't take nothing from me because you said it. But I am indeed a yes man. There's a list of yes men, along with the two that I've just read in your hearing. I looked at Abram as a yes man because everything that God requested of him, or everything that God directed him to do, he responded in a positive way. I said it earlier in high praise kingdom culture, you can know when a man is really with you or not when you request of him a particular thing for him to do. If I would say to Deacon Orr and all of the Deacon Board, I would like for all of you to meet me here tomorrow to wash the windows of the church, cut the grass, clean the auditorium, and they respond by saying, we'll pray about it. That means they're not really ready to agree with what my request is. Have you ever had a person you talk to about something say, I'm going to pray about it? That means that it's probably not going to be done. They act as though God is a long ways off and he does not hear what they're saying. So you look at them and say, I wonder, did you get a word from the Lord yet? And they say, I'm still praying about it. Because they're not ready to agree with what you have communed unto them. But Abram was a yes man because in the text it simply says that Abram did as the Lord said unto him. There's a reason why, obviously, God wanted Abram to come away from around those who were familiar with him. Because when God wants to use you, one of the things he wants to do, he wants your undivided attention. Well, I thought we were some amens on that, but that's all right. You'll say amen to me later. He wants you to have a one-on-one with him. No wonder the old saints used to sing because they had a one-on-one with the Lord back in the 40s and the 50s when I was just beginning to understand the church and being developed into a yes man. I used to hear them sing, the old timers say, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear your faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Then what happens, you feel a prayer returning, and then from that, it'll start a fire burning off. But he says, what you got to do, you got to talk to him. If there's a problem and there's an issue, whatever you're incurring, it's a simple thing as talking to him. Talk to the Lord. He talks to you in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms of Solomon, Isaiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Moses, Joel, Michael, Nahum, Hezekiah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and on and on. He talks to you, but but it's good now after he talks to you. If you talk back to him, and when you're talking to him, remind him what he said to you. That's the way you have a total relationship with God. God talks to you in his word, you talk back to him in prayer. That's why it's so important to have a good relationship with him. So when he talks to you, it's easy to respond because you know he says, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So when he talks to you, he talks out of concern. It's amazing. For so many people, God talks to them and they miss it. You're talking to a concerned God. The Bible says he loved the soul. The golden text of the Bible says that God so loved the world. Y'all going to pray with me? No, y'all really going to pray with me. I'm tired, but I'm going to preach it out. See, I used to preach four sermons on Sunday and thank God for and preach a midnight, 12 night. That's when I used to travel all over the world. But I'm 73 next month. And I do good to get 1.5 in. So I'm going to pray. Y'all pray. So I'm going to get this done. Now. We must understand that God is concerned about us. Matter of fact, help somebody else. They're going through. Somebody sitting next to you might be going through. Look at your neighbor and say, lift up your heads. The Lord is concerned about you. Yes, yes, he said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. There's no need for us to worry. There's no need for us to become dismayed because God has promised that he would not leave us nor forsake us, but he is with us always, even to the end of the world. When something happens in life that overwhelms us, we must learn to know that he said what he said, and he meant what he said, that he'll be there when everybody else is gone. All you got to do is say, Lord, help me to accept the things I cannot change and to change the things I can and the courage to know the difference. He's a faithful God. I didn't do nothing in him, but he's faithful. He said he's faithful, he loves you, he's given himself for you that you might have life and that more abundantly. So Abram responded to God. Abram then at that moment was in the list of yes men. God said, get out of here and go into the land that I will show unto you, and I will bless you. I will bless you, I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you, because you are a yes man. And the Bible says in Proverbs 12:2, a good man, I change the word good to a yes man obtaineth favor from the Lord, but a man of wickedness devises to be condemned. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, I want to put a little word in there. When a yes man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, you know from the text that was read of you out of Mark chapter 14, it centers around Jesus. Jesus now is looking at the close of his ministry that lasted 3.5 years. In 3.5 years, Jesus was able to touch the world. He caused 12 men to be converted. He called them from the fish boats and called them, come follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. They literally, the Bible says, those men preached until they turned the world upside down. We're serving a God that can develop any man to anything he wants to be. You are not here just by mistake. I'm going to tell every man in here, you're not here by mistake, but you're here on purpose. There is a plan that God has for all of us. What we need to do is wait until the Lord give us the call to go forth. I heard it said not too long ago, a man that lives in the earth and never finds his purpose dies a sad man. And what's so sad about it, you die with the purpose and never revealed it. You've got to go forth and begin to do that God has called you to do. Every man can preach, but some men can teach. Every woman cannot sing, but she can cook. She can do something to fall in the betterment of life. The young lady who's here this morning who sought space to help children to do better in life, to give them a head start as they go toward the universities and have them study at least 2 days a week. I told her that we were here, and I saw the earnestness in her face that she really wants to reach out and do something to help our young people. One of the things we've seemed to have forgotten about a mind is a terrible thing to waste. We got too many young people that are not excelling, that are not doing as they should be. And we're sitting by idle, and they're not globally prepared to be able to compete with others. But it's time for us to become aware of the fact that every one of our children has a purpose. And our house could be the next governor, and our house could be the next president of the United States of America. And our house could be the next bishop, the next pastor. Who could tell in 1947 when I was riding my bike around this corner every day, passing this church every day, not knowing that I was going to be where I am today, passing this church. That was the little boy, 9 years old, riding by the church that was soon to become the pastor of the church. You have some children in your house right now. My wife was on radio with some children this past Friday. They're already scientists. They're already 9 years old, 10 years old, scientists, already traveling around the world. There are some gifts in our audience that needs to be stirred up. There are some people that need to understand that we're greater than ourselves. Look at somebody and say, you're great. You just must find your purpose. And it's going to take some good leaders who are yes men to help our children and our communities find their purpose. We don't need to be sitting home doing nothing. We need to be helping our boys and our girls find themselves. Yes, we've come through the channels. I started kindergarten out here in this little town. It was called a village then. In 1946, I started my venture of education and was starting, had to walk a mile as a little five-year-old boy from this side of Inkster to that side of Inkster. But I made it. I made it through running from dogs and from running from bad boys who wanted to beat me up, but I made it. I want you to understand, we need to learn that we have to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So know this, you have a purpose. Look at somebody and say, you have a purpose. Touch that man next to you and say, you have a purpose. Yes, I didn't know what my purpose was, but when I found it, I began to walk in it. I began to preach through the neighborhood. I knew that I was a preacher when I was 7. Mother Harden said, no, that. Say, she used to live across the alley from us, down the street there. And she said, I would get out there and preach in the neighborhood. And she said, I sound so interesting. She said, she stopped her housework and just lay in the window, listen to that little boy preach. She didn't know one day that little boy was going to be her pastor. But see, you don't understand, God got a purpose for every one of us, and we got to learn and find it. If I had not found it, I wouldn't be happy. I could be locked up in prison somewhere else. We don't need to get happy without lock our boys up. We need to tell them to pull their parents up around their waist and straighten up and get a mind to do something. Don't come through the world, this baby daddy, that baby daddy, that baby daddy, that girl daddy. Now, I want you to understand, God has a unique purpose for all of you. You've got to learn to stand up and be men and represent your people. Now, give God a praise right now. Yes, and so we see that Abram was a yes man. It didn't mean that he was a wimp. It mean he was weak, because it had to take a man to get up from his familiar area and leave the people that he was used to, praise the Lord, and go out into a land that he knew nobody, that he was dependent on God. He had to depend on God because he had to be a yes man for direction that God was giving him. So Abram began to walk with the Lord. And the Bible said as he walked with the Lord, he and his lot and his nephew Lot became so wealthy that the land could not hold them with all of the wealth that they had. When you become a yes man, God has already your program in place. You got to learn how to be whatever God wants you to be and be the best of what you can be. Don't just settle for less. You give God your best and God will give you back your best. Yes, there's a house that you're going to have. Yes, there's a wife you're going to have if you don't already have her. But if you're a yes man, you already have her and you're happy with her. I was a yes man and God gave me the right one at the right time because he knew I had to be here to do this. So I being a yes man didn't make me weak, but it made me better. Does somebody say it'll make you better? Look at your neighbor and say, again, a yes, ma'am, it'll make you better. Yes, it'll be better at home for you. Sometimes you have to learn how to say yes, dear, 15 times a day. But it'll still be better at home. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You just said, better say yes, dear. But you, it's something that you're with your wife. Change it from whip to wife. You see, I like to go to bed with a smile on my face and know that everything is all right. I don't have to wake up with some hot prints all over my chest. I don't want to say yes, dear, because I don't want no trouble. I want to lay down and wake up. Look at that lady laughing at me over there. That's all right, lay on her, because I'm telling you, it's wise. You eat that woman's food. That woman is working on your clothes. You don't know. You wake up one day and itch and you don't know what's going on because you didn't say yes, dear. Can I preach a little bit here? You wake up and your shoes is hurting and everything's hurting because she's working on you. She got everything. You can't even sleep in your bed at night. You wonder why. Well, honey, I want you to sleep in the bed. I'm going to give you all the space. I want you to be comfortable. But you don't know why you can't sleep because you didn't say yes, dear. You got to learn how to say yes when you don't want to say yes. Because you can have peace saying yes. Amen? Praise the Lord. You got to understand that woman cooking your food. She's doing everything for you. You got to be careful, brother. You got to be careful, brother. Yeah, she got the Holy Ghost now. How long will she have if you don't say yes? Be smart. Be smart and lengthen your days. And so Abram left his familiar surroundings. And now he's under guidance of the Lord. And the Lord is leading him from place to place. The Bible says he became wealthy, so he left. And he journeyed down to Egypt. When he got down to Egypt, the Pharaohs were standing watching him as he arrived. But this yes man had a real beautiful woman. This yes man had a pretty wife. You know, like some of y'all's wives. Some of y'all feel like your woman is the best looking woman in the world. Yeah, you look out and some of you have been with them a long time and you still see that same beauty. If she get up in the morning and walk off the floor, you're still saying, hey, baby. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me today. When Papa just had to walk off that floor, I said, good morning, baby. Because God has given me someone I can call, baby. I'm glad I'm not calling no man, baby. I got a woman. God said, male and female created Eve him. Said him to be fruitful and multiply. I'm out here to still on straight. I don't have no love for no another man. I love my wife. Praise the Lord. I love a woman. Amen. A man's curves ain't like hers. He don't have the things she got. So why should I want to fool with somebody got the same thing I got? Can I preach like I want up in here? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, dear. My wife said, no, I can't preach that today. So, yes, dear, I won't preach that today, but I come back tonight. I'll preach it tonight. The world is messed up. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, the world is messed up. Things are not the way they used to be. And remember why things are happening. God is not pleased. We're in the home of the brave and land of the free, but things are going out of order. God is not pleased. When have you ever heard of America almost bankrupt? The Bible says sin and reproach to any people. The righteousness exalts a nation. I want you to understand the reason why America's in the trouble is that sin has gripped her. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. And the only reason why we are in trouble over here is sin has gripped her. Africa and Asia, wherever y'all listening, y'all don't let it happen to you because we had everything. And sin has gripped us. But we need to go back to the all-in mark. We need to go back to become yes men. When God says fast, we need to say yes, Lord. When it says pray, we need to say yes, Lord. When it says go to church, we need to go to church and say yes, Lord. And seek the Lord with all of your men and say, Lord, with any way you bless me, I will be satisfied. I want you to know the more you seek it, the more gratified you will be. The more you run after him, the more he's going to bless you. blessings will overtake you. I want high praise to know that in spite of what's going on in our community and around us, we can still be a blessed people if we become yes people. So now, Abram says yes. He leaves out. And as he walks with the Lord, he finds favor. He finds favor, so even when he entered into Egypt, his wife was so beautiful, he said, Sarah, now listen, I know how you look. And as we go into Egypt, they know how you look. But I want you to tell them a little lie. Tell them I'm your brother. And she was in part. She didn't have the same parents. But she was his sister, not the same mother, but she was his half-sister. So he said, now, we're going back to the real thing now. We're going to keep it real. You tell him you're my sister, because if you tell him you're my wife, I'm gone. It's not, the Pharaoh will have you in his bed, and I'll be dead. You in the bed, I'm dead. I don't want that. I want freedom. Save my life. That kind of rhymes, didn't it? You in bed, I'm dead. No. So she said, now what you do? You tell them you're my sister. And they entreated her. And so being that she was his sister, and he knew the order of that day, that if he desired her, he could have her. So he took Sarah, and he did put her in the bed. But a plague plagued him all night long. When you're a yes man, God got your back. I wish I had some help. When you are a yes man, God got your back. Then it's everywhere you go. I don't care what happens. God's got your back. Folk don't like you, but God's got your back. Or God got your back. Praise the Lord. Pearl, God got your back. I don't care what's going on. God got your back. Why? Because y'all know the secret. You're a yes man. Hallelujah. Throw your hand and say, yes, Lord. Yeah, that's the thing you're in the house. When men begin to say, yes, Lord, demons have to back up. The devil can't hinder you when the men get together. We talk about a men's group. Somebody talk to me, they want to start a men's group. Listen, all we have to do is get together. We didn't say no, but get together on Saturday morning and come in about 9 o'clock and just get your hand and say, yes, Lord. Anywhere you bless our families, we're satisfied. Yes, Lord. We pray for Bishop Hatton to continue to have a vision. Yes, Lord. Whatever he needs us to do, we want to do it. Yes, he goes, yes, man. Now. He running now. He's in a hurry. He's trying to get a second job. Don't let that yes man go. He's running. He don't know why, but he's running to his future. Somebody put your hand together and give God some praise. Abram leaves his father's house. And as he went, the Lord blessed him. He had so much that they had to break off. One had to go left, one had to go right. They couldn't stay together. Yes, man, y'all talking about you don't have nothing. I guarantee you, if you become God's yes man, you'll have more than enough. When it comes to giving to God, if you give God your life and offer, you'll have more than enough. Some of y'all want this, but some of y'all you already have it. Because you know what? God is already dependent on you saying yes to him. If you say yes to him, everything you desire, he's already have it ready for you. You don't have to strive for it, because God already has it ready. The Bible says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, hallelujah, that we should be holy, righteous before him, in love, with all the yes men that walk according to God's will, you will have anything your heart desires. He said, I will not withhold any good thing from them that walk up rightly before me. We need some yes men here. We need some yes men in Detroit. We need some yes men to marry these women. You women don't try to marry no man unless he's a yes man. You stay away from him if he's not a yes man. He'll only destroy your house. You pray to get in it and pray to get away from him. You won't want to stay with him. But if you got a yes man, he'll take care of your wife. He'll take you as a wife. He'll love you as a wife. He'll love your children. He won't have children on the outside. They'll all be in the same house because you got a yes man. A yes man fears the Lord. A yes man walks with the Lord. A yes man can pray and get a prayer through. A yes man is one that knows the word, who walks by the word. I wish I had some help here. A yes man will stop no trouble. A yes man will see to his peace. and everlasting joy. A yes man will laugh and pray for the breakthrough come. A yes man will bring his children to school and new college and make sure they come out all right. A yes man will stand in the church of the living God. I'm almost finished. I'm not quite there yet. Yes, man. Moses was a yes man. So much of a yes man that God chose him to lead his people out of bondage. Elijah was a yes man. It was Elijah who charged a woman that was to eat her last meal and die. Elijah went down to a woman in Zarephath's house and said to her, who was about to cook her last meal, her and her sons and that. He said to her, cook me a meal first. Cook me a cake first. She was a yes man. The yes man knew that God had his back, whatever he said. So he said, cook me a cake first and then fix yours. He knew that if she obeyed the Lord, God was going to bless her. Because the Bible said, give and shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give it to your bosom. I want you to understand, the way out of any problem is a yes man that's crazy enough to give his last time. I remember children getting an AA, Allen was alive. He came to Detroit preaching, and I went to the tent revival that night. Under that big top, somebody stood and said, God said, give all that I have, and I will bless thee. And I didn't have but last $48 in my pocket. I was waiting on my next paycheck. And I stood up under the anointing that night in that tent and gave my last $48. Somebody said, so you get ready to give all your money? I said, that's what God said, so I'm going to do it. They said, oh, we're praying for you. So I went on up on that stand, and I gave A.L. and my last $48, but I knew it was God because when he looked me in the eye and said, God bless you, son. That's an anointing that hit me, mother, that lifted me off that pulpit. When I couldn't myself, I was down in the sorrows crying like a baby and I just hit the Holy Ghost. God was doing something for me. And it was about 10 years later, I was preaching all over the world, and I was coming home one morning from Boston, Massachusetts, just got on the plane and Logan Field and heading back to Detroit, and the Lord came in and said, now listen, you gave AA on your last $48, but you just been preaching here this weekend, and everywhere you go to preach, you're getting $1,000, $1,500, $1,200, $2,000. I'm blessing you because I told you I was going to bless you. And he said, I want to tell you something else. He said, remember you was drowning in the pool, and your mother told you to go swimming one day, and you went swimming anyhow, and you jumped in that pool out there on Plymouth Grove, and he said, you went down in the 12-foot pool, and you came back up, and you found out you couldn't swim, and you went back down, and you came back up, you couldn't even say help no more, and you went back down, and you heard your mother say, don't go swimming, and you saw yourself in the funeral home, and you knew it was all there, and you went back down for the last time. When you opened your eyes, you saw a boy swimming toward you, like he was swimming to come get you, and I grabbed that boy, and I wrestled with him underwater, 12 feet of water, and he kicked and kicked till he kicked back to the top, and I was holding on to him. Good thing he could swim, because I sure was holding on. And I tell you, when he got to the top, he kicked away from me and got away again. I said, I'm going to die. This old man, he got away. I saw him out, but I'm dying now. And so I pulled my eyes at him. I saw his leg as he leading me. I grabbed his leg and covered up his leg and wrapped him out of his waist again. That he was I felt like Joshua fucking the rest of his angel. Hallelujah. I saw myself back, but I couldn't get loose. I couldn't let him get loose from me. I had to hold to him, and he got loose the last time. And when he kicked, I said, I'm dead now. But when he kicked, I saw nothing but a toe leading me. And I grabbed the toe. And I went up his back, I went up his shoulder, and then I got to the pool. I stepped out on the pool deck, and my brother said, water was falling out of my eyes, my ears, my nose, my throat. God reminded me, and I here you are, some 10 years later, on the airplane, they said, I'm going to tell you what happened to you. You said, you thought it was a boy who was swimming in that pool. You thought it was a boy who was swimming at you. But because you are a yes man, because you are a yes man, he said, I wasn't a boy. He looked around the corner to see, and so I'm like, do something here, but if you're in the way, God said, I'm going to go, boy, they're going to continue checking on you. It's all right. And that's a great thing. A yes man. Say yes to the world. I said yes. And in the morning, when God said, get up and pray, I said yes. Call me a prayer to get on. Call me a week back to get on. Oh, my Father. It's my Father, and I say yes to my Father. I say yes in the morning. Lift your hand and say yes. Yes. Hallelujah. I got to say. I'm saying to Africa, I'm saying to Europe, anybody listening, on this Father's Day, I come to tell you, you need to become a yes man. It's not going to take up from this, but the same thing God, the power to use you, you reach your hand and say, I hold on, I hold your hand, I will say yes in the morning, yes.
Come on. Come on. There's about two or three. three more people that need to get up. I want to pray for you. I want God to touch you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, and I want to make you feel like you are under stress. Come on, baby. See ya. Yeah. I need about two or three more folks that's crying out. Come on. Come on. What a reminder, Bishop. Thank you so much for reminding us that when God, when the enemy wanted to consume or to devour or to swallow you up, God covered you. There's some other folk in the room that feel the same way. Come on, babies, let me pray. I'm just going to count to seven, and if you want to come, you can. One. You need another touch from the Lord, too. If you're hungry, say yes. Three. Four. Almost there. I'm almost there. This is your opportunity. This is your time. This is your season. Five. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Some of us are being constrained. So help that. That feeling. You want to come. That's the money. Six. One more, one more, one more. The last call. Seven. Lift your hands real quickly from the presence of the Lord. Father, there is none like you. And how we appreciate you. We're not only praying for those that are standing in our presence, but we're praying for people all over the world. There are those in Asia. Philippines are listening right now. God touch. I ask that you will go to Africa and Malaysia. The UK is calling on the name, God. I ask that then, don't give up. Standing in your presence. We need your help, God. When we want to do good, evil is always present, so we need you. Calling on your name. Lay your hands on us. One by one. Name by name. In Jesus' name, cover them from the top of the head to the very soles of their feet. Changes are taking place, and God heals you, deliver and set you free. And if there is any special need that we know not of, and that you can't even speak of, I declare today that God is touching you from the top to the bottom. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an awesome church. And I tell you, God is up to something so big, so marvelous. We're talking to people even as far as Washington, talking about this is the place I want to be. If you want to become a part of this great church, if you're excited about the idea that God is here, you can come back. The church doors, the kingdom of God has been opened. Over 2,000 years ago, God is opening it to you. You can come. Is there one? God bless you. Give you one more chance. Is there one? Amen. One more time. God bless you. Let's give God a hand. Give God a hand. Lord, we thank you for this word. Let's give the men deserve a hand. Real father. Good men. God bless you. Hallelujah. We're thankful for good men. Amen. All God wants is a few good men. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to ask those that would like to be a blessing at this time, put something in your hand and just simply come to the altar and drop it at the altar. That's what we do. Amen. When we feel like we receive from the Lord and receive the blessing from the Lord and God has spoken to us, we plant a seed. What we can do now, our deacon is here as well, to always look for us to do change because he is doing something great around this building, and all we need is a little something, amen. So put something in your hand quickly. I'm not begging you, I'm not pushing you, I'm not making you, but if you would like to plant into such a word, or one powerful word of God, just bring something to the altar and lay it in his presence. Do it quick. Do it quick. You can only do it now. Amen. Get something in your hand to give us into the Lord. This is our last seed for today. Last seat for today. Last seat for today. In fact, you know what? I just heard God say this. Let's call this, because he's our Father and Lord. Bishop is our Father and Lord. God is our real Father. He's over us all, and he's over Bishop as well. But you know what? Let's bless our Bishop today. It's Father's Day. And whatever gifts you would like to bless your pastor, your Father and the Lord with, you can do that. So let's take this offering that was just given. Is that all right? Do y'all agree with that? Is it okay? Anybody okay with that? All in agreement, say aye. All in agreement, say not us. Not me. Let's put it in the hands of our pastor. Thank you for precious 1,004 bishops. We're going to put it in your hands. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to be a blessing to our Father and the Lord, I want you to do it now. Let's do it now. They should hold both hands up. We're going to do an overflow today. Let's do an overflow. Let's do an overflow. Let's give it to our Father and the Lord. Amen. Let's bless him with this gift. Our Father, have a blessing. Thank you, Bishop, for being a good Father, the Lord. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being concerned about us when we don't know you're praying. Thank you for all that you do. Hey, you. You'll be blessed. Thank you, my son. Thank you so much. Bishop, it ain't no old. She gonna give us a baby. The baby is gorgeous. Are we sure? Okay. No. You know, we consecrate babies around here. We give them back to the Lord. But the baby looks so pretty, I was ready to pray now. But bring your whole entire family that we will pray next Sunday. Well, let's make sure we go to the office and do it properly, but we will pray for your baby. For God to cover this child. Isn't that a vow? See, I like it. Train up a child in the way she goes. When it's old, it will not depart. They're training the children to bless the man of God. That's awesome. So awesome. Amen. We bless our bishop. We ask the Lord to cover him, to keep him. Amen. Soon he'll have a birthday, so we appreciate you, man of God. He is a great man of God. He really is. And we had three Africans. Give me one more time. I said that Dumeli, Dr. Gus, and Toba came all the way from Washington. And look what they put in our hands. This is what they put in our hands. They drove this and said, come on, old Lewis, go bring some money to your papa in the Lord. Oh. Don't you care that back now, Lewis. Don't fight yourself. He was like, you can have his pennies, Bishop, but just y'all I'm keeping. He was like, you can have half of it. It's the change you get, and I get the dollar. Look at this. They're from Nigeria, Africa. They drove all the way from Washington. You met them yesterday. They were awesome. But look what they came to put in our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to be able to just touch this and look at it. It is phenomenal, some of the work. And they let us know that they did it themselves. You know what? When they brought this to us, they said, God has been, they just keep thinking about us. And I want you to pass this around so you can see the kind of work that these young men do there. Young doctors, they're in their 20s. It's like they might not be over 30. Not one of them. Is over 30 years old, and their hearts are here. Just like, you know, God is beginning to send us Africans. We have Ben how old is he? One is in their 20s, and the other two is in their 30s. The doctor is in his 30s, probably 30. Do maybe is 30 and 32, yeah. But they're so young. But God has sent us Africans from all over the world. I can't explain it. Evangelist said that over 20,000 group is trying to connect with us. Isn't that awesome? So God is really blessing us around the world. And we already have listeners around the world, over hundreds of thousands and thousands of them. So we are worldwide. Amen. We have begun our worldwide ministry. Bishop, I think they want to make some couple presentations so that we can let you go home. You got 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
I think Bishop wants to bless the...
We have two gifts to present today. The two. I'd like to investigate our audience by seeing who is the oldest father among us today. The oldest father. How old are you, Deacon Hart? He's 82. 82. Now I want to see the youngest father. I want to see the youngest father. Stand up. How old are you, son? 21? I was a father at 21. You match me this time. I was 21 when I was a father. All right. Come, son. What do you have, a boy? Or two boys or two girls? What you have? A son. How old is he? One. All right. God bless you. You've been a daddy for a year. Amen. All right, what we have next? Oh, to me. Okay, thank you, Jesus. It's always nice to have some given to me. I want to thank all of you. That was a blessing to me today. Thank you, Jesus. Say this.
From you, from Sister LaDonna, Sister Pam, and Sister Celeste. Lemon pie.
Oh, lemon pie. Now, y'all know I lost weight. I'm trying to put it back home, and that's what you're trying to do. I'm trying to come down, and y'all put that lemon pie. I ain't going to stop putting this lemon pie home. This little time will be gone by this time tomorrow. Because I love them. Deacon Hart, you want to help me or something? Deacon Hart said you're going to help me eat it, yeah. All right. I have to give you a slice before I go because it's going on with me now, brother. All right, everybody standing. My wife was a blessing to me for Father's Day. She is responsible for the rubies that's in my cross. The rubies in the cross match the rubies in my presiding bishop's ring. So she seemed to be having that. Let's give her a hand. Praise the Lord. I got my rubies in my cross because I am indeed a yes man. Praise the Lord. I say to the Lord family, God bless you. We're constantly praying for you. And God, earth has no sorrow, heaven cannot heal. We love y'all. We love your brother. He's such a great asset to us here. Amen. And we love his lovely wife, Sister Orr. She serves on the deaconess. And thank the Lord for all of us. Let the church say amen. Let the church say what God has spoken. Let the church say let the church say let the church
Thank you.